Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
All right, so no specific shows to review at this time. It's a period when a lot of previewing and preparing are going on, but there are always things to muse and buzz about. Now, certainly no production more so than the latest incarnation of West Side Story. Hey, I've talked about it pretty regularly right here, beginning with the production's unusually lengthy period of previews, 6 weeks originally, and it just got longer. The show was going to open early February. Now that's been moved to February 20th. The main cause, we're told, is an injury suffered by one of the young leads. But it's no secret that shows that have long preview schedules are often those with poor or skeptical word of mouth and fear of bad reviews, so the more tickets you can sell up front, the better. And let's face it, the majority of visiting tours don't particularly care if something is in previews, even though many, many changes are made during that period. Now, there's another odd thing I have noticed, based on the fact that there has been so much publicity or off-the-record griping about the decision not to use Jerome Robbins' iconic choreography, and apparently to excise some key numbers. So now when you look at the ads for West Side Story, you will notice one line that says, based on a conception by Jerome Robbins. Huh, whatever that means. And below that one, another one reads, entire original production directed and choreographed by Jerome Robbins. Again, do we smell an unhappy Robbins estate here? Well, I don't know. The director this time around is Eva von Hove, arguably the most talked about and controversial one currently working today. He has taken reimagining to new heights or depths, depending on your point of view. But a lot can turn around in 7 weeks, so let's stay tuned and let's keep our minds open. Now, speaking of revivals, a dramatic one, a soldier's play written by Charles Fuller in 1981, which turned into an excellent movie with Denzel Washington, but has never performed on Broadway, well, it's in previews for the Roundabout Theater Company, a company that has had mixed results on that score, by the way. Most recently, its version of Tennessee Williams' Rose Tattoo was poorly received. I hope Soldier's Play, directed by Kenny Leon, does well, and I hope it brings in the usually underserved African-American theatergoers. Now, I mean no pun or un-PC-ness here, but at the same time that a soldier play opens, a slave play is closing. Now, I'm not sure there are potential revival records being broken, but there are lots of other shows also returning this season. Happily anticipated is Neil Simon's Plaza Suite, starring Matthew Broderick and his wife, Sarah Jessica Parker. Another Parker, Mary Louise, is returning in Paula Vogel's How I Learned to Drive, which she first did off-Broadway in 1997. There is yet another production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, this time with the always interesting Laurie Metcalf. I don't know if any play has been more performed on Broadway, it seems, every 3 or 4 years. American Buffalo by David Mamet is also coming back. Mamet is also coming back with a great cast of Sam Rockwell, Lawrence Fishburne, and Darren Criss. I really think American Buffalo may have been the first show I ever saw when I moved to New York with Al Pacino. There's another revival we should hope skips across the ocean from London. Yes, Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman, and yes, we've all seen countless productions, but apparently the one now in the West End, starring one of my favorite actors, Wendell Pierce of The Wire fame, is nothing short of electrifying. On the musical front, besides West Side Story, and of course The Music Man with Hugh Jackman coming at the end of next season, this season, we can look forward to Tony Kushner's seldomly revived Caroline or Change, and Stephen Sondheim's Company, starring Katrina Link in the main role, previously written and always performed by a man. That one is coming from London. Now, on another subject, there was a well-deserved headline-grabbing passing this last week. Jerry Herman, the music man behind so many shows, including Mame, Hello, Dolly, and La Cage aux Folles, died at the age of 88. Herman was always sort of considered the anti-Sondheim. Yes, he wrote more emotional than intellectual, and certainly more hummable music, but nothing wrong with that, and he is leaving a lot of fans behind. By the way, one of his shows that did not do well was Mac and Mabel. Coincidentally or not, that will be done by Encores at City Center in February. Now, I've occasionally reported here on books about the theater, most recently one on the aforementioned Jerry Robbins, and a lovely biography of the not always so lovely Elaine Stritch. Well, I have just finished a great newly released read about a great artist. It is called Life Isn't Everything, Mike Nichols as remembered by 150 of his closest friends. This is an oral history of sorts, no narrative per se, but rather the anecdotal memories of those who were lucky enough to know and work with Nichols. They go in chronological order, so we start with Nichols and May in their Chicago days, then bring their hilarious improv show to Broadway and best-selling albums. His eventual split from Elaine May left Nichols lost and depressed. What to do next? Well, a relative newcomer named Neil Simon turned out to be the answer, combined with the suggestion that Nichols had the makings of a great director. Well, together they created Barefoot in the Park and The Odd Couple, winning Nichols his first two pair of Tonys. There would be more, as his theater contributions were really astounding, including a memorable experience with Tom Stoppard on The Real Thing, and ending with a powerful production of the aforementioned Death of a Salesman, that one starring Philip Seymour Hoffman. What's fascinating in the book are the details of how Nichols worked with the actors, getting them to dig deep and differently, choices he made in staging. It almost feels like a masterclass in how to get a play on stage. Then there is his incredible film career, his brave decision to go with an unknown short off-Broadway actor named Dustin Hoffman to star in The Graduate, which Nichols won the Oscar for and he always said was his favorite movie. There was his delicate patience with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and his fight to release it in black and white. There were some misses in the long career, but I truly can't think of anyone who came from such poor beginnings, an immigrant from Eastern Europe who spoke not a word of English, later mastering not only the language, but just about every medium he touched. And it seemed he touched just about everyone. I ran into the actor Ed Norton this week and asked if he'd ever met Mike Nichols. Are you kidding? He said he was my mentor. There will never be another like him. I mentioned the book to the actor Harry Hamlin as well. He's best known for TV, but actually starred in the theater. He recalled that he once turned down a small off-Broadway show because he suddenly was offered one on Broadway. Well, that one was a modest success, but he later learned that the director of the small show turned out to be none other than a guy named Mike Nichols. So as we start a new year, we celebrate by remembering two giants, Mike Nichols, brought back to life in this fun new collection of stories, and Jerry Herman, whose tunes we will be hearing forever. And this week there was one more death in the New York theater world, not of a person, but an entity called the New York Musical Festival. The popular showcase is shutting down after some 15 years. This had been a great tradition, a way to try out and see new shows in development, many of which went on to full productions. Next to Normal went all the way to Broadway. Why did the New York Musical Festival shut down? Well, in someone's famous words, it's the economy, stupid. This is a real loss, Jill, but hopefully there will be others emerging to fill the void.
Who was running that?
You know, I can't remember if it was one person from beginning to end. I thought about that. I cannot remember. I even had some one act. Not in that one. I had a one act at another festival that the same company. I want to say it was called something like Myth or Nil, but anyway.
And I'm just wondering when it started, because you know what this sort of reminds me of, the whole lab. Secretly, from a trend standpoint, believe that we have started a new. Hopefully this decade and this moment where people are, This started in a thing I saw in the Wall Street Journal the other day, where it's people suddenly realize they do need shelf space in stores, and they're not happy so much. The big conglomerates never really gave it up, but the smaller outfits, of course, thought that they would sell everything online, and there are certain things that people just don't buy online. Sorry, not everyone's sitting there waiting for their razor blades, for example, to come via.
Right.
And the reason that I mention this is because I believe that we are turning a necessary corner where people understand that you actually do need labs and opportunities, workshops, to play with these things to see what they look like.
That's right.
And that the whole process, the whole cooking time, et cetera. So
that's exactly right.
Rather like the bookshop that was reopened, you're closing. I'm wondering if this next group aren't going to, when I say next, the people who are coming up, because we're losing, we're losing some of the people who were instrumental in encouraging this. And that passes the torch to the next group who should be, out there, not on their devices. And I think many aren't, but that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no. And something like New York Theater Music Festival, which is kind of people looked forward to it every year. The tickets were basically, you pay nothing. But it's exciting for the theater makers to be able to have that audience to respond to and tell it, what it does next. And a fun way to see new artists and up-and-coming names and remember them. And sure, every play has workshops, every play has readings. But a festival is a way to put it together. There is a new one that I talked about, I think, last month called, I think it's the Radar Festival. There is a new one. There are other festivals. There is a one-act festival. Like I said, that's where I had one act done a couple of times. So there are those. But this was a tradition. And it's a loss. And for a lot of people, bringing their shows, having a chance to get them up on little New York stages, and have real producers come to see them, and say, hey, we'd like to develop this with you. Yeah, you're right. They're fewer and fewer now. And anyway, it will be missed. But as we know, the writing goes on, the thinking goes on, the creating. That's the thing about the Mike Nichols book, and I don't want to oversell it. It's just that you so appreciate how long it took to get a play up, even when a script like Barefoot in the Park came to him, pretty much, you can't believe the decisions in workshops and in reading it in front of small audiences, how they learned from that, what worked and what didn't, how a little bit, what played funny one place, but, you got to do it. And, we've always talked about it, shows that go out of town, a lot of them do. Not as many as once did, but you got to have it done in front of audiences, and you got to help you along the way. But anyway, the happy news is a new year is beginning, and March seems to be the key month of almost all these revivals. I think they all open in March, interestingly. So that's it. There's one opening, there's a new play opening right now with Laura Linney, a one-woman play. I think I talked about that. Other than that, keep your eye on March.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.